We begin the Karadav, Masech, the Baba Basudav, Kuf Chav Ches. We begin on the bottom of Kuf Chav Zayin Mabez, the second line up in the bottom of the Yamud, where the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous stuff. The Gemara begins, Sholach Le Rab Abba Le Rab Yisa Bar Chama. Rab Abba sent to Rab Yisa Bar Chama the following halacha. Now, as Rashbam points out, the Gemara will bring many different halachas that Rab Abba sent to Rab Yisa Bar Chama, and the reason why it brings it over here is because one of the many halachas is that Rab Abba paskins like Rab Yehuda, who is what we had discussed in the previous stuff regarding the ability of the father to recognize this child as the firstborn, even though up until now, the assumption and what was known was that a different son was the firstborn, that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Nalik, Rabban, who hold that he's not believed. He's only believed when we don't have any preconceived notions regarding who the firstborn is. Now, in all these halachas, Rabbi Abba sends Rabbi Yisbacham, and the halacha follows like Rabbi Abba, as the Gemara will ultimately conclude in this discussion. So the first halacha that he sent was as follows. Someone says to his friend, Abdi Ganavta, you stole my slave. Vahoimer, and he says, Lo Ganavti, it's not true, I don't know what you're talking about, I did not steal your slave. So then he responds back, Mativa Atzlacha, then what's he doing by you? What do you mean you didn't steal him? You have him in your possession. So now the guy responds, what do you mean? Ata Machartili, you sold him to me. As we continue to top of Kav Chav Chasim and Aleph, or Ata Nasatili B'matana, you gave him to me as a gift. Now, the truth is, up until this point in the conversation, this defendant is believed with this claim to say, why do you think I have it? Of course, it's because you gave it to me or you sold it to me. Now, as Rashbam points out, although the Gemara does say in Chazkas Abatim previously in Naflam Advav Medalas, that Hagoydrus Inland Chazaka, things that are movable like animals and slaves do not have a Chazaka, so the Gemara there explains, that's only immediately, where although generally movable items, whatever person's holding, we presume that it's his, even though up until now we knew that it was someone else's, but movable item is not, it's only immediately, but after 3 years there is a chazaka. So here also, since this guy had already had possession of this slave for 3 years, or it could even be immediately, but we're talking about a baby, infant slave, which does have an immediate chazaka because the baby cannot walk by itself, or even by a slave that the original owner did not see this in the defendant's domain with witnesses, where again, the defendant could claim, say, I don't know what you're talking about, I don't have it. So either way, the halach is that really the defendant would be exempt, and that would be the end of the story. However, he goes the extra mile, this defendant, and he says, look, Ritzayin Chai tells the claimant, if you want, he shava v'tail, swear, and take the slave, which is an added dimension to this case, where the machzik, the one that's in possession of the slave, tell the one who's contending, who really is totally exempt from any oaths, and the reason for that is because the halacha is that einish bayin ala avadim, that regarding a contention of slaves, the defendant does not have to take an oath because on slaves there is no liability of a shvuah, as the Gemara says in shvuah daf mem beis mem beis. So there's no liability for him to take an oath. Moreover, this claimant, generally, an oath does not help him at all to come out and collect from this defendant, because the halacha is that anyone that takes an oath according to biblical law, it's that he takes an oath to be exempt from paying and not to go out and collect. Unless, as in this case, the defendant is willing to do that, where he says, look, go ahead, you don't trust me, you take the oath, swear, and then you'll be able to take the evidence back from it. Says the case, B'nishba, and that's what happened. So the claimant went and took the opportunity and took the oath and saying, yes, it's my slave, you stole it, it's mine. Says Rababa, Einu Yachal. Now, at this point already, the machzik, the one who was holding the slave up until now, cannot be lachzer boy. He cannot go ahead and now retract and to say, I was just joking around with you. What do you mean? I was exempt. I was not liable to go ahead and make a shvu to you, and you also would not have a shvu to me to go out and collect, to swear and collect with. Because we know that halach is a person cannot swear and collect with. And moreover, there was no kinyan over here for me to give you the slave if you're going to swear. Rather, I was just joking around with you. And that's Rababa, he can't back out anymore. Because since, based on his word and his command, this claimant swore, he has to now give him the slave, because once he imposed the oath on him, he believed him with the oath. And it's as if he admitted to him that whoever will swear, in this case the claimant, that it's his slave, he'll believe him, and this guy who swore now, he has to give him the slave. Now, this that the case was, that the claimant originally told him, Avdi Ganavti, you stole my slave, is also an added chiddush, where we don't have to say regarding other movable items, where there at least the defendant is liable for an oath, so that he shouldn't have to pay. There we could understand when instead of swearing, he goes and throws it back onto the claimant and says, look, you know, I don't want to swear. If you want to swear, you could do that. Where for sure the Rabab would say that the defendant cannot retract anymore and to say, no, I'll swear and I'll be exempt. The chiddush in this case was even though it's by slaves, where there is no oath here at all, because the defendant does not have to swear when it comes to avadim, even so, once he then says to the claimant, look, I'll let you, if you swear, you go ahead and take the slave back, then he can't back out anymore, and he has to give the slave to the one who brought the claim. That was Allah of Rababa. And that is the Gemara Mai Kamash Malan. What is Rababa teaching us? Tanina, we learned this already in the Mishnah Masechet Sanhedrin. The Mishnah says as follows, Amar Lai, if someone says to the one that he's contending with, he says, Neman olai abba, my father is trustworthy to me. In other words, to be a judge in our case, because according to biblical law, a father is invalid to judge a court case, neither to merit him or to make him liable. As the Gemara learns in Sanhedrin of Zayim Abayz, from lo yumsu avos abanim, that relationship does not allow the father to be a judge in this court case. But let's say the son says, I believe him, I'm okay with him being the judge. Or neman alai avicha, it's trustworthy for me to have your father to be our judge. Or let's say neman malai shleisha roye bakar, it's trustworthy for me to have as our judges these three shepherds of cattle, even though they're not proficient in law. Now Rashbam points out it specifically says roye bakar, those who are shepherds of cattle, which are the large animals, and not roye tzayin, which are the shepherds of the small livestock like sheep, because those people are actually wicked. And they cannot be judges, because generally those who are shepherds of small animals are thieves, because they take from other people's fields, and they're invalid to judge a court case. Whereas Rei Bakar, and also my father and your father, where they are kosher, at least to judge in general, although not for these children. So what's the halacha of, let's say, says, I'm okay if we'll use the Shleishi Rei Bakar. So Rei Meir Aimei says, Yachal Achzabai. He says, the one who said, I'm okay with having these three shepherds, he could still back out, because all it was words. There was no kinyan, was no formal acquisition over here, and therefore he could back out until the court case happens. They say, no, einu yochel achzabai. The one who said this cannot back out, because once he already agreed to these terms, that's that person can then take that opportunity and go ahead and use his father and use these three shepherds. Now says the Gemara, the same thing would apply to the oath of this claimant, where if he already swore regarding this slave and he took it, where regarding both of these cases, even though the law is that there was no requirement of that oath, but once he accepted upon himself, says the halacha, then they cannot back out. So what's the chiddush of Rababa? We see this by the Chachamim, where although there's no obligation for him to take these situations, because halacha does not require it, but once he says, I trust them, I'm okay with doing this, then the person could jump and take the opportunity, and then they can't back out. So that's the same thing as Rababa's halacha, where there was no obligation of an oath. But once he says, I'll do that, so the guy could take the opportunity, and then the guy can't back out. Says the Gemara, Hakamash Molan, what Rababa is teaching us when he says that if the guy tells him, look, swear, and I'll give you the slave, that I can't back out, there also, it's talking about Dibe'etin L'chamachlikis. He's coming to tell you that the machlekes between these two opinions of the Chacham and Reb Meir is even when, in the case of, I will give you. In other words, where the defendant says to the claimant, I trust the father, where if he's going to make me liable, I'm going to give you something. Even there, the Rabbanans say that he cannot back out and he has to give it, which that's similar to Rababa's case, where after this guy swears, when we say he can't back out, he has to now give the slave that he was in possession of, he has to give it to the claimant, because Rababa holds like the Rabban over there. Now, for sure, where the claimant was saying that I trust my father and your father, meaning one of the two people that was in this court case, which is from the Mishnah Sanhedrin, that if he's going to exempt you, then I'm okay with that, and you don't have to pay, and I'm meichel you, there, of course, everyone would agree, even Reb Meir, that he can't back out, because that person was the one that was possession, that defendant was the one that was always had the money, and mechila, forgiving, is like a kinyan. However, since there's a mandom over there in Sanhedrin that says that the whole machlik is between Reb Meir and the Chacham was only in the case of machalach, which is that, although I'm coming to claim money from you, but if they judge me, although it's my father, your father, that you're not chayiv, fine. That's where the machlekes was. But by etein lach, when it was that this guy who was accepting the father if he's going to be liable, he's going to have to give something to the other party. Zir says that opinion that no, everyone would agree that he could back out. That's why Rav Abba had to tell us that no, even by a case of etin lach, where the guy not only could not collect, where at least that guy's staying in possession, that makes sense because that's a kinyan mechila. But you would think maybe it would not apply, but when you have to actually give something, that's what Rav Abba says, that no, even in that case, there's a machlokes v'alocha kedivrei chachamim, halacha follows like the opinion of the chachamim, even though it's logical, the reasoning of Rav Meir, because ultimately no kinyan was done, that's Rav Abba's teaching us that halacha is like the chachamim, but again, even more than just in the case of mechila, even in the case of etlocha that I have to give, still once a guy agrees, he can't back out anymore. Next halacha that was sholach le Rav Abba Rav Yisrael Bachama. Rav Abba sent Rav Yisrael Bachama the following halacha. Halacha is regarding a debtor that dies, that goyvim min avadim. So the creditor could collect the debt from the slaves which are now owned by the orphans. And the reason for that is because slaves have a halachic status as karka, where although a person cannot collect movable items from the orphans, but land he could, slaves have the halacha like karka. Now, it's actually only in this area that the halacha is not like Rav Abba, which the Gemara is going to ask, actually, and actually explain that the words actually should be not that you could collect from the slaves, but actually ein gavin, that you can collect, and then the next words from Rav Nachman is actually v'cheinam Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, he says that ein gavin. No, actually, you cannot collect the debt from the orphans from the slaves. Because although, as we just pointed out before, that slaves are compared to land, as the Pasuk says, Mikra Chafevis Nachaltem, that it's as an inheritance, which is like a Nachla, like a Yerusha of land, is so too the halachas of slaves. That interpretation is that's only for things that are written in the Torah. Like, for example, to acquire them the same way you acquire land with Kesav, Shtar, and Chazaka. Also, that one, as we mentioned previously in the Gemara, that you don't have to take an oath on regarding slaves as a defendant, so too as regarding land. Also, that there's no aina, which is a price fraud. By land, you could charge anything, so too in slaves. But regarding the creditor collecting from, regarding that, slaves are like movable items. And the reason for that is because a creditor does not rely on slaves, because just like Oma Tatlin, he does not rely, and that's why he cannot collect that from the orphans, because they're movable. You could take them one place to another place. Same thing applies to slaves. Only regarding land, which land is, it cannot get lost. You can't move land. Land will always be geographically where it is. But in regards to a slave, that is not relying, therefore, slaves are not meshubed, and therefore, says Rav Nachman, and as we'll see later in the Gemara, really Rav Abba held the same thing, that the Baal Chayiv that the creditor could not collect from the slaves of the orphan. Another halacha, sholach le Rav Abba Rav Yisrael Bachama. Halacha is that Shlishi, a third generation, could testify regarding his relative Bishani, that's a second generation, and that's going to be kasher. So for example, let's say the son of Chanoich, who's the son of Reuven, which is a third generation from Reuven, will be kosher, will be valid to testify regarding Yemuel, the son of Shimon, because what we have over here is that the son of Chanoich is a third generation to Reuven. Yemuel, the son of Shimon, is a second generation from his father, that makes him a second generation, because Reuben and Shimon are first generation, which is because they're all the sons of Yaakov, they're the first generations. So on that is saying Rav Abba, third generation can testify regarding the second generation. However, a second generation regarding a second generation would actually be invalid. So, for example, let's say the son of Reuven to testify regarding the son of Shimon, that the Gemara learns that Masechta Sanhedrin from Layumsu Avos al Banim, that the Banim cannot testify one for the other. In other words, the Avos are Reuven and Shimon. The Banim are Chanoich and Yemuel, that the Banim cannot testify for each other. So for his first cousin, that he cannot testify. But a third generation and the second generation, then we don't find that that's a psul. And the reason why it's important to say this halacha of Rav Abba is because there is an opinion, Perekzeh Bayir in Sanhedrin, that a shlishi is possible to testify for a sheni. That's why Rav Abba had to say that halacha is that he is kasher, which is his first cousin once removed. That's his father's first cousin that he is valid to testify. Rava Amar Af Barishin. Rava says that it's kosher to testify even regarding a first generation. So, for example, let's say the son of Chanoich, who's the son of Reuven, Reuven's grandson, could testify regarding Shimon, his grandfather's brother, that's the brother of Reuven. And that's the halacha, says Rashbam, as the Gemara says later on, that Rav was adding on to Rav Abba's halacha. And from the fact that the Gemara says shortly that the halacha is not like the next opinion of Mabar Avashi, the inference is, however, that the halacha is like Rav. Now, the third opinion, says the Gemara, Mabar Avashi, Achshar Ba'Abba De'Abba. He validated that if this grandchild is even testifying regarding his grandfather. So for example, the son of Chanoich testifying regarding Reuven, who that's the third generation for the first generation of Reuven, he said even that is kosher. That says the Gemara, but less hilchasa k'mab ravash, halacha does not follow like k'mab ravashi, because grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and so on, for even 1,000 generations, cannot testify upwards towards their fathers, grandfather, great-grandfathers, and so on, because a child is a yerech aviv, in a straight line, it's considered like a thigh, like an extension of the person, and therefore that's a kurva, that's an inherent relationship, which is invalid to testify regarding. Continues the Gemara, sholach le rabav le revi sabachama. It says, ha-yedeyelei, if someone knew regarding his friend, be'edus karka, testimony regarding his land until where the boundaries were, because there were others that went and took over some of the person's boundary. So this guy wanted to, this claimant brought this guy and another one with him to testify to say that these guys there moved their fence into my property. So that says Rababa, even though this guy knew very well testimony for this guy where the boundaries of his land are and that this guy went into it, but that was only Achalei Nistama. That was only before he became blind. But now when it's time for him to testify, it's been Nistama. His eyes already dimmed and he can't see. That says, Rababa's apostle, he's invalid for this testimony because to estimate, he's not kosher to testify and say, up in here, up until this point is the boundary of this person. And therefore, we're not concerned for his testimony. Shmuel Amar, he argues with Rababa. He says, no kosher, that he is a valid witness. Because Efshed Mechavim Mitzrona, it is possible that he could evaluate the boundaries, because although he can't see so well, but he has certain signs by other fields which are near on the four boundaries, so he's able to know from those things where the boundaries are. Therefore, he says that it's kosher. Avoglima, but regarding a cloak or a garment, that Shmuel agrees to Rababa that he cannot testify in that once he becomes blind, because we don't rely on the measurements, because many different garments have the same measurements, so how could he testify that this is that guy's garment? Rav Sheshet Zamafel Aglima. He says, no, the guy's kosher even to testify regarding his cloak, because Efshed Mechavim Midas Arkam Midas Rachba, he might be able to be exacting regarding the length and the width, which is not so common that another garment should have the same exact dimensions. Aval Nascha, but regarding just a chunk of silver or gold, how could he testify regarding that if he can't see? Rav Papa, he says, Aval Nascha, he says, even an ingot of gold or silver, Efshed Mechavim Midas Mishkalezu, because he could maybe get exactly the weight, the measurement of its weight, which that's something that's unlikely to have something else just like that, and if he could get the exact amount, then therefore that will verify, even though he can't see anymore, and therefore he is a kosher witness. And that's his Gemara on all those different opinions, Mesve. We learned in the following Braisa. Hayudei le be'edis. The Braisa says if somebody knew testimony for someone else, Achle nasa chasanai, meaning he was unrelated to him at the time when he saw the thing that he would be able to testify him, before he became his son-in-law. But then nasa chasanai, then he became his son-in-law, which thus invalidates him for testimony, as the Gemara says, it's a nedrin of Chavzayim Abayz, because he's now considered a relative. Or let's say, Pikech v'nischarish, let's say he was a totally sane person, and then he became a deaf-mute because of a certain illness, which is really the same as the following case of when he became mentally deranged, because on that, the halacha is the same as a cheresh, as a shaita. Or let's say, Pitach, let's say he was able to see very well, and then stama, then he became blind. Or let's say Shafoi, he was intelligent, v'nishtata, and then became mentally deranged. Says the Braisa, puzzle. So he's invalid, because at the time of the testimony, he's not valid to testify. Aval, but says the Braisa, Yudei le be'edus, actually nasach hasani. Let's say, yeah, he knew the testimony before he was a son-in-law. V'nasach hasani, then he became a son-in-law, but then umesa bitay. But then that guy's daughter died, which is a case of being a relative, but now he's not a relative. Where, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin explains, it has to be told that he doesn't have any children from her. Or let's say, Pekech v'nischarish b'chaz v'nispekech. Let's say he was totally, had all his faculties. Then he became a deaf mute, and then he became back regular again. Or Pitech v'nistam v'chaz v'nitpatech. He was able to see, then he became blind, then he was able to come back, he got his vision back again. Or let's say, Shafiv v'nishtat v'chaz v'nishtapa. He was totally sane, became mentally deranged, and then became sane again. Says the Braisa, oh, then kosher, then he's valid to testify for him. As the Braisa sums it up, Zaklal, this is the general rule. Kol shet chilah say anything that in the beginning, meaning at the time of when he saw the incident, I say fight or the end, which is the time of when he has to actually testify. Meaning, even if, let's say, the beginning was kosher, But if the end, let's say, or only the beginning, was bepaslus, where he was invalid. So in other words, let's say in the case of when the beginning was pasul, which was the time of when he saw the testimony, even if at the end, when it's time to say it, he's kasher, doesn't make a difference, pasul is going to be pasul, because you have to have that both when you saw it, and when you have to testify, you have to be kasher. Where when you're saying it, for sure you have to be kosher, because you have to be kosher aid. But moreover, even in the beginning, if he wasn't fit to be an aid at that time, the pasuk says, that he was a witness or he saw, which tells us that at the time of witnessing the incident, he has to really be fit to be a witness at that time. But chilas of a sefer b'kasher, it's like the case of the sefer of the b'raisa, but if in the beginning and the end he's kosher, even though in the middle, let's say he wasn't, then kosher, then it's going to be kosher. So it continues the Gemara on Tamid Beis and says, Tiyufta de Kulu. So this is a refutation of all those opinions that disagree with Rav Abba, which are Shmuel, Rav Sheshit, Rav Papa, which they all validate at least the case of the witness for testifying regarding the land, that they said that if the guy was, if he was able to see and maybe he came blind, so then they all said, oh, for that he's going to be kasher. They disagreed regarding other things like a cloak and the ingot, but they all said that it's kasher, and here we see clearly in the Braisa that all these cases are pasul, moreover from the fact that the time of the Braisa sums it up at the end and says, Zaha klal. Well, if the beginning or the end is going to either one be pasul, then it's going to be pasul. We already know that from the Reisha, where the cases of the Braisa already discussed that, where it said that if the end is pasul, then it's going to be pasul. Why does it go back and say, Zaha klal? Unless, obviously, to include all these cases where if a guy was able to see and then he became blind, then you cannot testify. Says Gemara, you're right, Tayyufta, it's a refutation of all those opinions who disagreed with Rabbah. Rabbah says, not going to be kasher. And you see even the brace like him, because you see all cases, if at the time of saying the testimony, the guy is invalid, where a blind person cannot be a kasher aid, then it's going to be possible. Another halacha, Sholach Rabbah Abba l'Rav Yisra bar Chama, says, Ha'imra al tinik ben haban. If someone says regarding an infant amongst all his sons, Neman, he's believed, which the Gemara is going to shortly explain what is he saying regarding the infant that he's believed. Rabbi Yechanan disagreed with this and he said, no, he's not believed. So ask the Gemara, my Kama, what is he saying? So Amabaya, his interpretation of it is as follows. He says, Ha'chikama. This is what he's saying. If someone says regarding an infant amongst his sons, what does he say regarding him? That Yirish Kol Nichsei, that I want him to inherit all my assets from all his brothers. That is what Rabbah was saying. The halacha is that Neman, that the father is believed, like Rabbi Yechim Bereka, which is later on Mishnah Daf Kof Lamed Ben Aleph, that he says, if a father says regarding any one of his inheritors that's fit to inherit him, that he wants him to get all the inheritance, Dvarav Kayam, and then his words are valid, which the Gemara later on actually paskins like Rabbi Yechim Bereka, and that what Rabbah was saying, that Neman, that the father is believed to say that. Rabbi Yechon, who was saying that he's not believed, was going like the other pin, like the Rabbanah, who disagreed with Rabbi Yechon and Bereka. That maskeb, Rava asked Nabai's interpretation. He says, "Hi Neman ve'ina Neman." Then why does he use the words that the Rebbe and Rabbi Yechon disagree regarding if he's believed or not believed? Yirish v'le Yirish miboyle. It should say if he does inherit or he does not inherit. Nothing to do with believed. What do you mean believed? He's saying, I want this child to inherit. It's not regarding belief. It's a desire that he has. So then their word should not be if he's believed. It should be if he does inherit all of it or not. Elam Rava, rather Rava says, no, hachikama. This is what the halacha was talking about. If a father says regarding this infant, meaning of this child amongst his children, that he says he's the firstborn, that is what Rebbe was saying, Neman, that he's believed, Kreb Yehuda, which this is the whole reason why we brought in all these Sholach Rebbe's, going back to the previous daf, which is that Rebbe Yehuda said that even though up until now, we had an assumption that this other child was the firstborn. Even so, if the father says, no, it's this child that's the firstborn, the father is believed. That's what Rabbah was saying, that he's believed, like the halacha of Rabbah. And says Rashbam, that's the halacha, because the Gemara says later on that the halacha is like Rabbah and all these halachas that he sent, including this one, which we say that he's coming to exclude from Rabbi Yechanan. That's why at the Paskin, this halacha, that it's actually, the Gemara will say that all the other halachas are obvious, like Rabbah. It was actually, this was one of the two cases why we had to say Shalach Rabbah to exclude from the opinion of Rabbi Yechanan. Now, moreover, Rashbam says another additional halacha that he says that if one of the children was always presumed to be the firstborn while the father was alive, even if the father didn't say that this is my firstborn child, obviously he will take a double portion. Because the whole machlekes Yehuda Mechama was only if there was a presumption by another child that's the firstborn. And then the father says regarding the presumed firstborn that he's a regular and that this other one is the firstborn, that's Rabbi Yehuda says that the father's believed to void that chazaka. But if the father doesn't say regarding another one that is the firstborn, even Rabbi Yehuda would agree over there that the chazaka, that the presumption would be valid, because if you don't say that, then Rabbi Yehuda should have said that. Should have said, Rabbi Yehuda says that any firstborn that the father does not recognize and say, he's my firstborn, he does not take a double portion, rather than the fact that the Gemara does not say that, obviously that we would believe that presumption. It's only that even when there is a presumption, if he says regarding a different child, he's the firstborn, and that what Rabbi Abba is saying, that the father is believed. When Rabbi Yechon was saying that he's not believed, he was going like the opinion of Rabbanan, because since Abatana we had presumed another one is the firstborn, father is not believed. Again, as we explained in the previous daf, Rabbanan hold that the pasuk of Hikir, of that the father recognizing who is the firstborn, is only when we have no preconceived notion, only then does Rabbi Yechon hold like Rabbanan, that then the father would be believed. Next halach that Sholach Rabbi Abba Rabbi Yisrael Bachami says, if someone says, Titel ishti ke'echad min haban. I want my wife to take from my inheritance like one of my children, and she accepts because she's willing, as the Gemara says later on Daf Kof Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that's going to be the halacha, that's how she's going to take from the inheritance. Or another interpretation is actually besides her ksuba, not like she's forgiving on her ksuba and she's only going to take like one of the children. Besides for the ksuba, he gives her an additional part of the assets. What he says is valid. Which obviously has to be talking about either that he's a shchivmara, a person on his deathbed, where even by just what he says, that has halachic validity, or you could say it's maybe a healthy person, and he made a formal acquisition. Now, in regarding such a case, Neitel is kacha min habanim, says Rav Abba, so the wife is going to take, after this person's death, like one of their sons, because that's what he had said. Now, Amar Ravi qualifies this halach, and he says, ubinachasim shal achshav, but it's only regarding the assets that he has right now. In other words, if let's say the father's assets increase till the time that the children end up dividing the father's estate, then the wife does not take only from those assets that he had at the time when he made this oral statement. The reason for this is because a person does not give over as an acquisition to another person something that was not yet that he didn't have yet. And this was only later on, before the time that they ended up splitting it up. Because as Rashbam says, even the Kondra Meir, that we generally say that a person is makna davash lebel oilam, that's only when he's explicit regarding it. But in general, when it's unspecified, a person does not entertain something that is ultimately going to have to be makna that right now, it's only for something that is already in possession of, and therefore this woman has the lower hand, because in general, he's only going to give her things that he has at that moment when he says, I want my wife to divide with my children, it's only what he has at that time. And a second peace, says Rava, ubebanim haboin la'achem akam. And it goes based on the amount of sons that he will have at that later point in time. In other words, it does not go according to the calculation of the sons that he has right now, that's with the amount of children that she divides with after his death, which would thus make her take a larger portion. But rather, even according to the calculations of the amount of sons which will ultimately have at the time that it's divided, where he's going to have many children till then, that's how she divides it based on how it is at the time of the division. That's based on those amount of children, which actually the Rashbam says it could go either way. That even if, let's say, at the time he made the statement he had many sons, and then they died out in the father's lifetime till the time that they divided his estate, then she actually would take a larger portion according to the smaller amount of children that there are at the time when they're dividing their estate. Because the halacha is, that was what his words were, that titel ishti ki echam abam, I want my wife to take like one of the sons, which his intention was at the time when they're going to be dividing. It's according to that time that's how she should take, where it doesn't make a difference if they increased by that point, which then she gets less, or if they diminished by that point, because we're saying that the wife takes like one of the sons. That's what Rabab was saying, which is at the time of the Chalukah. Next halacha that Sholach Rabab or Vyis Bachama, he said, Hamiti Shtarchei Bal Chaver. If someone brings out a document of debt that his friend owes him, now, when this guy, the creditor, produces the document, so Malva Oimer Loi Nefrati Klum, so the lender who's producing the document says, the guy didn't pay me back anything, he owes me everything on this document. V'leiva Oma Parati Mechza, now the borrower says, not true, I already paid back half of it, but you're right, the other half I owe you. Which that is the halacha known as Maid B'mikta Sataina, that if someone admits to half of the claim, so then Yeshavas has to take an oath on the half that he's denying. as the Gemara explains later on. Now, you obviously have to be saying, in contrast to what the Gemara is about to say, that he had said this before the witnesses testified that he already paid up all of it. It was before that that he admitted that, you're right, half I owe you, but half I paid up. And therefore, as we'll see, that does not make him a Meshav Aveda. Generally, if someone does, witnesses say he doesn't owe, and then he on his own volition admits, even though it's half of what that person is claiming, but he has witnesses claiming for him that he doesn't owe anything, then he would be what's called a Meshav Aveda, which is, I'm returning a lost object of yours, which the halacha is, I'm not chayav to make any shmua, because if I wanted, I could have denied the whole thing. Where there's no ha'aza, there's no audacity when I have witnesses supporting me. But in this case, he actually said this claim before the witnesses came. And only then, v'edim e'edin, then after that he admitted to half of the debt of the loan, then witnesses came and testified, shepar kulay, that this defendant actually had paid up the whole thing. Says Rabbah, the halacha is as follows. Harezen nishba, so the borrower has to swear that he paid up that other half, and then he'll be exempt from paying the other half. But half he has to pay, because he already admitted to that half, because halacha is that hidos baldin, the admission of the defendant, is actually more than the testimony of the witnesses who said that he actually paid up already. So he definitely has to pay half, but on the other half, he could swear and exempt himself. The goyve, and now the lender who could collect that half that the guy admitted to, he collects mechza b'nechasa b'necheirin. He collects from the half of the available assets that the borrower has, but from the indebted, those which were already sold off after the time of the loan to other consumers, that the lender cannot collect from. Why? Because the Amri, because the consumers could say, hey, you guys are doing what's called a kanunya. You guys are doing a trick, a scam, which is because really he did pay you up. And we know that, and that's why we bought from him, because there was no lien on his properties. You guys want to make believe that he owes you and that he doesn't have any money anymore. You're going to collect from us consumers and you're going to split amongst the two of you. No. Anana idim samchinan. We rely on the witnesses who testify clearly that he did pay up and that he does not owe you, and therefore there is no lien and you cannot collect from us as consumers. Now, the bar himself admitted so you could collect from him, but not from us, from the consumers. Now, there's a machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Rishim ben Allah in the beginning of Perek Shnei Merchs in the Bab Metzia, that regarding a document that it was written on it that this guy owes this lender saloim, a general unspecific term of coins, saloim or dinarim. Now, it doesn't say how many, it just says plural. The lender says it was 5 and the borrower says it was 3. So there's a machlekes between Rabbi Shimon Lazar and Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Shimon Lazar says that since he admits to half of the claim, the lender's claiming 5, he's admitting 3, so he has to take an oath, which is called Maidim Miktsa Satani Yeshavi, admit to half the claim, you have to swear. Rabbi Kiva says that no. He has the halachic status of a Meshav Aveda, of someone that's returning a lost object which there was no claim, he comes on his own, the guy says, what? What do you mean? This is not what I lost. I lost double this. Doesn't have to swear. In this case too, he doesn't have to swear. Why? Because the terminology in the document that says he owes him slime doesn't mean any more, not indicative at least, more than 2, which is the minimum amount of plural. And because the halacha is tefastim or b'lo tefastim, you don't know any more than what's specified, which is only 2. And the one who has the document, he has the lower hand. It doesn't prove that there's more than 2. All he would be able to collect is 2. Now, this third selah that the defendant is admitting to, he's a Meshav Aveda. I don't have to say that. On my own volition, I'm saying that. And on that, the Mishnah teaches over there that if someone finds a lost object and returns, it does not have to make a shvu because they've taken the oglam. So therefore, that's the machlekes. Rabbi Shimon Lazar says that he has to swear because it's maidim mikzas. Rabbi Kiva says no, he doesn't have to swear because that he didn't. It's not considered admitting to half of the claim. He didn't have to say anything. And from the fact that he adds on the third one, you don't have to make him swear regarding the remaining 2. Continues the Gemara. Vafil Rabbi Kiva de Amar, so says Rabbi, even according to Rabbi Kiva that he says over there, Meshav Aveda Hava, that regarding that third Selah, he's considered someone that's like returning a lost object, because if he wanted to, he could have said that, no, it was only 2 Slom. Because look at the document, it says, I owe you Slom, which sounds like 2. And he would have been exempt from a Shvu, as the Gemara says, because actually the document is supporting his claim that it was only 2, and that's why it was written in the generic, unspecified term of Slom. Says Rebaba, even according to Rabbi Kiva, that says over there that it's a Meshav Aveda, that Hanamili, that was only said that we consider him a Meshav Aveda, and he does not have to swear, Heichad Leka Edim. That's only where there are no witnesses, like over there, where the witnesses of the lender of the loan, they don't know what was written inside. They only know, as they recognize the signatures, that it was written unspecified that this borrower owes this guy slime, which the minimum is 2. And therefore, there's nothing supporting this lender that it's anything more than that. So yeah, of course, if the guy says 3, it's on his own. It's a meshaved. He's going to be exempt. But says Rabbi Abba, Aval Heicham, but when we see at the end, the Ik Eidim, that there are witnesses like one of them, then you could say that the borrower didn't know that the witnesses are going to testify like either one of them. And therefore, Irtuse Irtes, you could say that he was afraid that the witnesses should not come and support the lender. And therefore, he was afraid, so he admitted to half of it. But really, maybe he actually owes all of it. And therefore, since you don't have the element of Meshav Aveda, therefore it says, Reb Abba, of course, according to the opinion of Reb Shimon Elazar, that he would be chayv as Maid Mikzat Taina. But even according to Reb Akiva, that over there says Meshav Aveda, that's only when there's nothing supporting the lender. Here, where there's something supporting the lender, which are witnesses, you could say that the bar was afraid, then you could say that it is going to be chayv, a shvua, he's not going to have a locha like a Meshav Aveda. That mask of the Mabravashi. Mabravashi, however, asks on this halach of Rabab, and he says, Adrab, to the contrary. He wants to say the other way around. A filler of Shimon Elazar, even according to Shimon Elazar that holds over there, that you're going to be chayv to swear the Amar Moed Mikzat Taina, but he says that it is considered admitting to have to claim. Where although the document only says 2, but this guy's claiming 5, he's saying 3, and therefore you have to swear. Says Mabravashi, Hanamili Hechad Leke Eidim Dekomasayile. That's only over there where there's no witnesses that support the contention of the defendant. So there's nothing to support him. So yeah, maybe you're saying that he could have said 2 and gotten away with it, but yeah, he's afraid to because the person doesn't want to have the audacity to totally deny the claim. So he says 3. Oh, but you got to swear because you're admitting to partial of the claim. But says my Rav Ashi, but where the defendant has witnesses who support him, then therefore for sure what he's admitting to is totally not required, and he's like returning a lost object. And that's in spite of the fact that the witnesses only came after that he testified, because in this case he didn't really know what they're going to say, but ultimately witnesses are supporting him, so what he's saying really is not obligated because the witnesses say he's totally exempt. So what he's admitting to should not require him to make a shvuah, even according to Reb Shimon Elazar. So we have this machlekes Reb Abba and Ma'abar Avashi regarding from this machlekes Tanoim. Does everyone agree that he is chayv b'shvuah, or no? To the contrary, does everyone hold that he's pater from a shvuah? Now, actually, as we'll see in the conclusion of the Gemara is not concerned with this question of Ma'abar Avashi, and the halacha is like Reb Abba. Darish Mar Zutra Mishmeid Rav Simi Bar Ashi. So Mar Zutra expounded and he said, Hilchasa b'cholhani shmeitza, the halacha is like in all these discussions that we brought on this daf, k'deshalach le'Rav Abba l'Rav Yisrael Bar Chama. Like Rav Abba sent the halacha to Rav Yisrael Bar Chama, we paskin like Rav Abba. On that asked the Gemara, Omele Ravina l'Rav Ashi. So Ravina asked Rav Ashi to Rav Nachman Mai. But what's with this? One of these halachas had it that Rav Nachman disagreed with Rav Abba regarding the halacha of a slave. Rav Nachman said that the creditor cannot collect the debt owed to him from the orphans from the slave that they had, that they inherited from their father. Now the halacha is that we pass in like Rav Nachman regarding monetary law. So we have a contradiction in halachas. Here on one hand we have to pass in like Rav Nachman, but here on the other hand we said the halacha is like Rav Abba who disputes Rav Nachman. So Malay, so Rav Ashi responded to Ravini, he says, no, actually, an ein goyvin masnin in law. Actually, in the words of Rav Abba, and that's what we had mentioned before, you have to say that the creditor cannot collect from the slaves of the orphans, and therefore the words are v'cheinam of Rav Nachman, and so to Rav Nachman says, actually, the same thing as Rav Abba, that you cannot collect, and therefore there's no contradiction, because Rav Abba is saying the same thing as Rav Nachman, that you cannot collect from the avadma of the orphans. So then the Gemara asks, then Be'ele Hilchas Halafuki Mai. So then this that was said that the halachas like Rebab and all these halachas, what's it coming to exclude from? In other words, there was only one specific halacha, and it had Reb Machlekes, Reb Abba and Reb Nachman, since there's no dispute between Reb Nachman and Reb Abba, so it's obvious that the halacha is going to be like Reb Abba, because as the Gemara continues on the top of Kaf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, there are other cases, but they're also obvious. Ela Fuki Mide Rava, if it's coming to exclude from the halacha of Rava, who Rava said that even the third generation could testify regarding the first generation, like the grandson of Reuben could testify regarding Reuben's brother Shimon. But on that the question has been Meisefu. Rava is not disagreeing with Rav Abba. Rava is only adding on to Rav Abba, who Rav Abba had said that the third generation is kosher to testify regarding a second generation. And that Rava comes to add on and say that it's even by a first generation, which in the sense is a closer relative. And that you could say that even actually Rav Abba agrees to Rava. And you just, Rav Abba had to say that a third generation is kosher by a second generation, because there is an opinion, Mishnah Sanhedrin, that it's possible, enough Chav Chasim and Aleph. But not to infer but that Rav Abba held that a third generation is possible by first generation, because maybe the incident that was with Rav Abba would just happen to have been where a third generation and a second generation was saying that it's kosher. So what are you saying, Allah is like Rav Abba? What, that, well, like Rav and not like Rav Abba? Rav doesn't agree with Rav Abba, and actually maybe Rav Abba even agrees to Rav. And idem aber avash, and if it's regarding the other the halacha of Rav Abba, where Mar Avashi, meaning in this halacha itself, that Mar Avashi had said that the third generation could testify even regarding his grandfather. And that was saying halacha is like Rav Abba and not like Mar Avashi. And that says the Gemara, but las hilchas like Mar Avashi. We already paskined over there at the moment that the halacha is not like Mar Avashi, as the Gemara had said. And this drush of Marzuch was said at a later point in time. So what was the point of him saying halachas like Rav Abba? We already knew that from that earlier time, the halacha is not like Mar Avashi. Now Rashbam actually says that the Gemara could have also have asked by saying that Mar Avashi is also not disagreeing with Rav Abba, he's just adding on, he's just asked it even better, that we already knew Mar Avashi was refuted. So we know halachas is like Rav Abba in that too. Ila fuki midish mul Rav Shesh Rav Papa, and if it's regarding the other halacha of regarding if a person was able to see and then became blind, if he's kosher to say testimony regarding a piece of land, and to exclude from Shmuel and Rav Shesh and Papa who said that he is kosher, and that says the Gemara Hoi Tarsuvu, but we already refuted their opinion clearly from the Braises, so we already know that Allah is a Gebab over there. Why would we need Mazutra to say that Allah is like him? Ella rather concludes the Gemara, it's for two halachas why we have to say Allah is a Gebab. One was Lafukim de Rabbi Yechanan, one takes good from Rabbi Yechanan, who said that the father is not believed to say regarding this one that we had assumed is not the firstborn, to say that he is, because Rabbi Yechanan is held like the Rabbanon, and that says the Gemara, that's where I have to say Allah is like Rabbi, like Rabbi Huda, that the father is believed even if another son had been presumed up until now the firstborn, the father is believed to say that no, this one is the firstborn. And Umiat Kafta de Mabra Vashi. And we also had to say Allah is like Rabbi, to answer from the question of Mabra Vashi that we just had said, that he said, no, that everyone would agree that he does not have to take his Shavua because of Meshav Aveda, because what do you mean? You have witnesses that support that say that he's totally exempt. So this that he's admitting to half, for sure he doesn't have to swear on the other half. And that's what the Gemara was saying, no, the halacha is not like Mabra Vashi, because since when he admitted, the witnesses did not yet testify to support him. So you could say, like Rav Abba had said, that he's still afraid of them because he doesn't know what's inside their heart. He doesn't know what they're going to testify, which is like Rav Abba had said. And therefore he said that actually according to everybody, that even like Rabbi Akiva, who held over there that the halacha is like that a person is a Meshav Aveda, in this case he held that the halacha would be, everyone would hold that he has to take a Shavua, because he doesn't know that the witnesses are going to support him, and therefore in this case, where although one would think that, what I mean, the witnesses are totally exempt, still he has to make a shvuah on the other half that he said, that he's denying that he already paid.